have all been waiting for. Stand and be counted, because one thing I know, we are all soldiers in the revolution of heart and mind and soul. Of all your worrying, we have all that we need. So stifle all your fear and complacency. Yeah, we walk through the valley and we glow in the shadow of death. We don't march alone, no, and life is too short to rest. Why have we come here? What lies in store? Isn't this what we have all been waiting for? Stand and be counted, just one thing I know, we are all soldiers in the revolution of heart and mind and soul. Oh, I am convinced that the consequence of your effort.
Of the Repair of the Breach broadcast with Zach Daniels. I'm your host, Zachariah Daniel, here on what the pagan calendar calls April 1st. They call April Fool's Day, but really we just got done completing the last Sabbath of the first month, and the Repair of the Breach broadcast can be heard on what the pagan calendar states every Sunday evening between 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the West Coast and 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the Central Standard time zone. And as we were alluding to, as the world was celebrating April Fool's Day, the reality was it wasn't that day at all on Yahweh's time. He said it was the 29th day of the first moon, or the last Sabbath, or the last seventh day of the first moon, or the week of Scripture. And so we need to get back in step in Yahweh's feasts and so forth. I mean, they've got pagan feasts, as we've alluded to many times on this broadcast, that Satan and the enemy and the church system has sowed into everyday commercialism from Easter. And they got their Easter bunnies out there, and that represents the sexual fertility rites of Ishtar or Isis, or the symbol of sexual fertility rites. And the Messiah resurrected on the third day of the 16th day of the month of Aviv. He didn't resurrect on what they call Easter Sunday. We'll be right back. And we're back here on Repair the Breach broadcast. Again, I'm your host, Zachariah Daniel. And as we were mentioning, the Messiah resurrected on the third day. And the third day of the week, actually it was the first day of the week, but not Sunday as we know it. It was the first day of the week from the scriptural standpoint, from the lunar phase, because the weeks are determined by the moon. The month obviously is determined by the moon. That's how you get the word month. And obviously the feasts were ruled by the moon. And for reference scripturally, Psalms 104:19 states that Yahweh, the Almighty Father, the Creator, appointed the moon for season, for feast days, for appointed times. So the moon rules the appointed times of Scripture, the Sabbath, the new moons, obviously, the feast and so forth, Passover, unleavened bread. And some have asked, you know, do we still celebrate Passover, or how do we celebrate Passover? Do we have to be in Jerusalem or Yerushalayim? And the Scripture says in Deuteronomy 16 that it is the place we celebrate the feast at the place Yahweh shall choose to place his name to dwell. And now that we have his name upon us, and we call upon his name for salvation, the Scripture says, whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. That's found in Joel, or Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And Peter quotes that in Acts chapter 2. So we quote, and we speak, and we lift up the name of Yahweh for deliverance, for salvation. And so he causes us to inherit the family name, because he said his people are called by his name, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And in Isaiah 52, Yahweh states the people that bear his name are his people. And he said, my people shall know my name. And some have asked the question, but is it okay to call the Savior Jesus or Lord or God or Jehovah? Because isn't that the English version, Zach? And I would just say, well, the Almighty never changed his name, and he said not to take his name in vain, and it was an issue of respect and reverence. But you don't translate names anyhow to begin with. You transliterate them. And the point being is that, you know, if your name is David Gomez, for instance, then your name would be David Gomez regardless of what country you travel to. You don't translate your name. Just because Joe goes to Mexico doesn't mean his name is Jose. His name is still Joe or Yosef or however you want to say it. And some have said, well, isn't it a name game? You know, isn't you playing a name game? And I would say, well, call in, air your dissent, let's talk about it. And, you know, if your name's Michael, I guess it'd be okay to call you Miguel then. Of course you wouldn't accept that, or I should say your mother and father wouldn't accept that, now would they? And in this day and age, and it just seems like society has just excused the importance of the Savior's name, but yet when it comes to their own personal name, they make it an issue. You know, it's hard to get close to somebody if you don't know their name. It's hard to have a relationship with somebody if you don't know their name. And so his name is Yahweh forever. He said that in Exodus chapter 3. And wherever it says Lord or God or Jesus or Jehovah, the name of Yahweh is in there over 7,000 times originally. And so he said not to take his name or replace it. And some say, well, what's wrong with calling him Lord or my Lord? And, you know, why not just call him my Lord and my God? Well, I'll show you why. It wouldn't be acceptable to the Creator. Now, he might know your heart, and he knew my heart, and I was guilty of that, too. You know, I'm not setting myself up. But the fact goes back to that the enemies of Yahweh were the prophets of Baal. Remember those Baal worshipers there in the Book of Kings, you know? And if you study the word Lord out, in fact, in the end time, the Almighty Messiah stated that there would be many that would come to him. They'd be in the disfavorable section, and they would still refer to him from Baalistic terms, such as Lord, Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 7, where the Messiah stated that many would come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we, you know, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we, you know, heal in your name and all these mighty miracles in your name and so forth? And he's going to turn to them and he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of Torahlessness. Or lawlessness. That's what iniquity means there in that text, Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at verses 19 through 23 or so thereabout. And so the word Lord goes back to Baal worship. People say, well, I can call him my Lord. Well, you've got a landlord that you pay rent to, some of you. And Lord was a term of so-called British nobility. and it was an earthly term for earthly masters, if you will. And the Almighty wasn't an earthly master. He was the potter, not the clay, wasn't earthly whatsoever. And so let me read you something out of the book of a book called Come Out of For My People by Dr. C.J. Coster. And if you'd like a copy, if you'd like a copy of it, I give you a free ebook version of it through an email attachment, Come Out of For My People, also known as The Final Reformation, but changed to the title Come Out of For My People by Dr. C.J. Coster. Again, if you'd like a copy of it, you can email me at zachdaniel@yahoo.com. That's Zach with two Ks, D-A-N-I-E-L, @yahoo.com. ZachDaniel@yahoo.com, and I will be glad to send you this book called Come Out of For My People, and you can see a lot of references from what we speak here on this broadcast called The Repair of the Breach. And it states here, under point 16, under the word Lord, and I'm quoting out of Dr. Coster's book, he says, quote, the name Yahweh has been substituted in our translations of the scriptures with the title Lord some 6,823 times. The short form Yah, like as in Hallelujah, has also been substituted 48 times with Lord, and only in one place was it retained as Yah, Y-A-H, in Psalm 68:4, and in the King James it has it as J-A-H, but the letter J doesn't exist in Hebrew or in Greek for that matter. And it's just a recent letter added to the last letter added to the English alphabet. So in the King James, it refers to, it's spelled J-A-H or pronounced Yah. Nevertheless, like Yugoslavia was actually pronounced with a Y initially. Then it goes on to say, he goes on to say, further, wherever we read, quote unquote, in all capital letters, God, G-O-D, that too is a substitute for Yahweh. This title, quote unquote, Lord, is applied to all heathen deities. This is out of Dr. Coster's book under point 16. If the word, quote unquote, God is not used for them, in most cases, quote unquote, Lord and quote unquote, God are used interchangeably for pagan idols. For instance, Hare Krishna is popularly known as Lord, quote unquote, Lord. And nowadays we hear much about Lord Maitreya and so forth. Now these let me just enter in thoughts here for a moment. Hare Krishna, for instance. You see many of them at the airports, the Hare Krishna worshipers wearing a toga or whatever you want to call it, being bald and so forth. And I'm not criticizing them. I know they're sincere and they're good people. I know a lot of them are good, have good deeds. But again, our good deeds aren't going to buy us into the kingdom of Yahweh. But look at the term Krishna for a minute. For those that worship Hare Krishna, let me have your ear for a minute. And for those that are professing Christians, don't you think Krishna and Christian is so similar in its root origin? Again, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious or blasphemous or hurt anybody's feelings or step on anybody's toes. But the point is that the term Krishna, you know, Krishna's birthday was 1225 or what they call December 25th. That's right. And even doesn't Christians celebrate the Messiah's birthday on 1225? Are these coincidences? No. What it is called synchronization. They've synchronized the Roman Catholic Christian Church, the Vatican, have synchronized pagan heathen worship, infused it together with some important truths of the Messianic faith or the Nazarene Israelite original congregation. But yet they've removed themselves from those terms and now refer to themselves as Christians or the Church, if you will, even the Protestants. With all due respect, what are they protesting? Well, they were protesting the mother of all churches, the Vatican. And yet, so they've distanced themselves somewhat in the sense that they try to say they're separate, they're Catholic is not Christian and Christian is not Catholic. When, with all due respect, Christianity or Protestant Christianity do not realize that they're still using the same terms that the first Christian church, the Roman Vatican, indeed was Constantine, used and fused pagan religion to bring forth a one-world religion, a one-world government, because the church and state was the system. back then, and now it is now. For those that, you know, are in the Protestant realm that are saying, oh, well, there's a separation of church and state, it says so, and they don't realize that they've been hoodwinked and tricked into being incorporated as a 501c3. 95 to 99% of all churches in this country, here, what they call America, are indeed state-created churches. And so what the state creates, they control. And so if you're a pastor out there of a congregation, I would strongly advise you to come out of the corporate-controlled, state-created church system, because these terms such as church, Jesus, Lord, God, even if you come out of the corporate status of a 501c3, you're still clinging to the religious side of the beast system. And the political side, you might come out of it to an extent, but if you still cling to the religious side of the beast, their terms, their pagan feasts like Christmas and Easter, they're celebrating all these pagan feasts such as Good Friday, and which goes back to, by the way, to the fish fry. I don't know if you might see it some fish and chips places where they offer on Friday, quote unquote, on the pagan calendar, the, you know, special on a fish fry. Well, because Friday was for Freya and Frigga and Venus, the sexual fertility rights deity that Freya was, and it also has the connotation of the fish symbol, fish fry on Friday, you see. And what that really means is it really is deciphering or decoding or really revealing that the fish symbol in Christianity. You ever wonder what the fish symbol represented? You see it behind, you know, when you pull up at a red light and you see it behind a car at your back of, got that little fish symbol, and it'll say J-E-S-U-N, you know, J-E-S-U-S-N, the fish symbol. It's because that's where the name came from the pagan deity Dagon. You can read about it in the book of Samuel in the First Covenant. Dagon was a half fish, half man. And people say, oh, no, that means, you know, the Messiah is making us fishers of men. No. What that is it's just a synchronization, and that's what Friday goes back to, and that's why the fish symbol goes back to the name J-E-S-U-S, with all due respect, because Dagon was, again, a half fish, half man, and that's who the Philistines worshipped, but the Babylonians worshipped him as Ea, who was a half fish, half man. Also, he was also depicted, Ea, the letter E, the letter A, as in pronunciation. He was also a half serpent, half man. Also depicted again, like I stated, also known as a half fish, half man. And so when you look at the term or the name Jesus, where does it come back to, or what does it go back to? It goes back to all these pagan names, with all due respect, because in Revelation, the book of Revelation, it states that this mystery, Babylon, this mother of all harlot, this church system, had a name that was full of blasphemy. In other words, there was going to be one name that would contain many, many pagan names that would have so much connection to pagan heathen worship that it could not just be coincidences. But it is indeed emphatic that the true faith of the apostles and the prophets, and the renewed covenant, the early believers found in the book of Acts, who were known as Nazarene, who were the part of the covenant people, Yisrael, not about race, again, folks, about grace, every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, the coat of many colors of Joseph's coat of many colors, which represented the house of Israel, represented every, again, nation, red, yellow, black, and white, and brown. And Ephraim had mixed himself with the nations, that the name that was to be called upon us was to be the only covenant name that he gave to his bride. The Almighty is the bridegroom. The Almighty Messiah was Yisrael and Yada, Judah, and or I should say Yada. And so that represents all the nations of the world who come into faith and belief in the Messiah in the renewed covenant, following the apostles' doctrine, the book of Acts, who kept the Torah, who kept the feast, who kept all the commandments. Look at Revelation 14:7. It was those who kept the commandments that had the right to the tree of life in Revelation 22. And so you're listening to the Repair of the Breach broadcast on RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. Stay tuned. I'll be right back. I'm Zach Daniel.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson Music Shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Of the brief deck, Daniel, and you've got a call, I believe, Kevin. Identify where you're calling from. Kevin, welcome to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. What can we do for you today?
Good evening, Zach. Actually, this is Kenneth.
Kenneth, I'm sorry.
From down in Florida.
Okay, Florida.
Welcome back. Good to hear you.
I'm glad to be back.
Listen, I have some questions that I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to relearn things that are years in the making, and I'm not calling to stir the pot or cause any controversy or embarrass anybody. I'm just trying to find the truth.
All right, I appreciate your sincerity. Go ahead.
I want to ask you a question. Evidently, in some of the reading I've done on the internet, are you familiar with a gentleman named Ralph Woodrow?
The name sounds familiar. I think he wrote the book Mystery Babylon or Babylon Mystery Religion. I think I even got a copy of the book, if I recall.
Right. And evidently, he pulled that book himself, and he's written a subsequent follow-up called the Babylon Connection, where evidently, in reading some of the reviews on Amazon readers that they post on there, he kind of... goes back on what he set forth in Babylon Mystery Religion, and one of the reviewers said that he's actually says we can work with Catholics now in seeking the truth. Now I don't know that for a fact. This is off of the reviews.
Right. I've not heard that he's actually. So you're saying from what you've read, it just appears that he's recanted somewhat from the book that he wrote.
Yes, that's correct, and that was the reason why he wrote this the Babylon Connection question mark.
I'm really sorry to hear that if he actually did recant it, because he wrote a tremendous book called Mystery Babylon Religion, or I can't remember exactly, but you can probably still get the copy of it. But if you've read it, it's very detailed. He quotes, and it's not just his book. I mean, Alexander Hislop, H-Y-S-L-O-P, wrote an incredible book called Two Babylons, and he quotes a lot from that. And, of course, the book I was quoting from a little bit, Dr. C.J. Coster, Come Out of Her, My People. There's another book called Fossilized Customs by Lou White, incredible work, as well as Dan Israel. We've had him on the broadcast in the past, maybe about a year ago or so, and he's got a book called Christianity and Mass. But go right ahead. What's your thoughts? Take all the time you need, my friend.
Well, I really don't know. I'm just trying. I wanted to get your input on this. I know some of the reviewers on the Amazon website were also critical of Mr. Hislop. But anyway, and everybody's. I guess they've got their own agenda. I guess they might be. You know, they could be. From the Catholic Church that are writing those reviews that are critical of Mr. Hislop. I don't know, but anyway, it seems I went on Mr. Woodrow's website and he does say that he was in error in the Babylon Mystery Religion
What's that website? Do you have that website? I'd love to look at it. Maybe I'd like to even have him on the show sometime.
I don't even have it in front of me. Gosh, I wish I'd had that.
Well, we'll dig it up. We'll dig it up, and we'll see if we can get him on the air, if he's even open to doing an interview as such. I would like to first compliment him for the great job he did in his book. Now, if he's recanting that, I would love to find out why he's recanted. I think I can give you a synopsis, or maybe I'll give you my own summation. I'll give you my own surmise, if you will.
Sure.
I believe that a lot of these men who stay in the Christian church, which obviously he has, there's even when he wrote the book, he never basically stated he came out of it.
Right.
The point is that when your bread is buttered and your financial security, quote-unquote, is hinged upon people's donations and so forth, it's hard to leave something that you're going to get financial remuneration if you continue. But if you continue to criticize what you're still in, then you're going to catch fire. And maybe he couldn't take the heat very much longer, and he decided to get out of the kitchen and recant completely, and that's where he's at probably today. And it's not fair. I'd like to have him on the show to rebut anything I've stated, because I'd be glad to give him free airtime.
Here it is. It's and it's called the Ralph Woodrow Evangelistic Association, and it says he has a Christ-centered evangelical preaching and publishing outreach. It's www.ralphwoodrow.org.
Well, if we could set an interview, I would love to have him on, and we can talk about these issues. And because his first book details a lot of the stuff that I brought out, but, you know, it's not just his book. There's so many other men that
are
scholarly.
Let me ask you this just quickly. Are you familiar with I've heard you talk about Lou White before and Mr. Coster.
Fossilizedcustoms.com, right.
What, if anything, do you know about a Yosef Ben Ruach?
I know him. I met him. But that's how I met him one time. I really can't say. I agree with a lot of what he said. I quoted some of his articles or his books on the broadcast in the pack. I guess he was originally known as Norman Willis, and he had a book by that, you know, with his original name. But nevertheless, he's got some great insights and stuff. I would disagree maybe on maybe two major issues, probably more off, but two major issues like. I think he still believes the Sabbath is perpetually Friday evening to Saturday evening, and he believes that the Messiah is a separate person apart from the Father.
Uh-huh.
So those are the two biggest issues, and of course he thinks the name of the Messiah is Yeshua, where I contend scripturally it's just a title for the Messiah, because the Messiah's name is Yahweh, because it was Yahweh who came in the flesh and he didn't change his name. But I think he's got some great insights. Those are good reads.
What
probably
about,
90% of it, I believe, but 10% I'd probably back away from.
One more question. Thank you for taking your time with my
no problem. As much as you like, my friend.
What about a Michael Rood?
I've seen some of his videos. He's got some insights, but they use a crescent moon, a dark moon. Same thing with Ben Ruach. Same thing. They believe a Friday, Saturday is a perpetual Sabbath. A lot of them come out of the Worldwide Church of God. I think Rood came out of that scenario. What was his name? Armstrong.
Armstrong, yeah. Herbert J. Armstrong.
That's it. Yeah, that's right. I think Ted Garner Armstrong.
Garner Ted.
That's it. Garner Ted with his son or something he took over.
Right, yeah.
For him. Yeah, a lot of them come out of that Seventh-day Adventist type mindset. Uh-huh. Or they come out of that and start their own movement like the WOG was. So I've gotten friends, you know, I've ministered and preached at Unity conferences where a lot of these men have come out of that realm, and it's a good thing. I'm glad to hear they come out. But a lot of what Christians or ex-Christians have done when they come into a Hebrew messianic roots or they go into a sacred name movement, they bring a lot of the Christian traditions a lot of times with them, even when they come out. And it's good that they come out. They go from a trinity to a twinity or a duality, and it's still idolatry because we're only to worship one, and his name is one, and that's found in Zechariah 14:9. That name is Yahweh, and he said, don't worship any others before me. He's not going to say, hey, wait to the New Testament, and then I'm going to send somebody up with a different name, and you can go ahead and break my laws now.
Right.
No, he can't do that.
Well,
he can't
lie. I came out of a church like that, you know, and I'm struggling with some of these doctrines and some of the precepts that you're putting forth, but I'm searching and trying to study and research it. So that's why I wanted to ask you about some of these other folks, but I guess Mr. Koster and Mr. White were probably more run parallel as much as could be than the others we mentioned.
Absolutely. I think Dr. Koster's book, Come Out of Her, My People, also known as originally known as The Final Reformation. Again, I'll be glad to email anybody an e-book copy of that if they want to reach me at ZachDaniel@yahoo.com. And, you know, it's an incredible read. It's documented. And these men have come out. Whereas I think Mr. Woodrow, with all due respect, and if he wants to come on and rebut anything I've said or correct me if I've said anything wrong about his position, I think he never really came out all the way. I think he put forth all the premises about coming out of her, my people, all the last day message, but I don't think he came out all the way, obviously, and I think he caught a lot of heat, and, you know,
yeah,
hard to leave something.
I,
it's got your, you know, if you got your financial base behind it, you know, it's hard to leave something that's popular.
I'm just looking at his website right now as we speak, and I'm inclined to agree with what you're saying. And listen, I'll get off here and give somebody else a chance, and I sincerely thank you for your time.
Hey, please call again, and hey, if you got hooked up to the internet, please email me and stay in touch and call again.
Okay, will do, Zach.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. All right, shalom, my friend. All right. Yeah, I think it is kind of sad that when you see an incredible piece of work like Mr. Woodrow put together in Babylon Mystery Religion in that book, and then now he wants to recant the book when he did an incredible job of documenting his work, initial work. It is sad, but it is indeed a sign of the last days, of the end time. That, in fact, the Messiah warned about that. To him that hath, to him shall be given more, and to him that hath not, to him shall be taken away what he seems to have. And what Okay, and the Messiah states that if you're obedient in the revelation he gives you, he'll give you more. But if you're disobedient and you reject the revelation, he'll take away what you seem to have, and he'll take revelation from you. All right, we got a caller in Tennessee. Identify yourself. Welcome to the Repair the Breach, caller. Identify yourself.
Dalton?
This is
Dalton in Tennessee. Hey,
welcome. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I've never gotten to listen to your program before. I'm a supporter of RBN and have called a fair bit to your shows, but not you.
Well, I appreciate you calling, Dalton. What can we do for you today?
Well, I think it's really interesting you talking about that fish god business, because I was digging around on the internet today looking at some stuff, and I came across the part in there, and I think this is very coincidental, about...
Or maybe a divine providence, maybe.
Right, right. When the Philistines got a hold of the ark,
yeah,
and they put it in their temple where they had that god, and it fell on its face before the ark.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, it's yeah, I think it's in Samuel, I believe.
Anyway, I've been thinking about a lot of things in terms of the Bible because of a struggle I'm having with a particular issue. But along with that, and some error that I think I see that started with Constantine, and that time frame, it strikes me that, you know, if you say something is okay with God and with the Bible and it isn't, or you say it's not okay with God and the Bible and it is, then if you disparage other people over that point, people who are fellow believers in God and the Bible, then not only are you slandering those people, but you are also insulting your maker, because if something is thematically consistent with the word throughout the Bible and you say that it isn't, then your unwillingness to go with that point is a direct rebellion against God. Are you following me?
Yeah,
and even though you may profess God, you're not.
Well, I'm not professing God, because that was a pagan deity of luck and fortune and money. And
well,
that's
right.
The same thing God we trust.
What you're calling Yahweh. The Almighty. If you say, well, I believe in the Almighty and I believe in his salvation and that, but yet you say things that are consistently contrary to that work.
Give me an example of contrary so you can make your point.
Well, the thing that's really been on my mind is polygamy.
Okay.
Christian, what people would call Christian polygamy.
Okay.
You know, I know you don't. You know, you want to stick to the one name, but
go ahead. This is open season. Let's talk about what you want to talk about. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, I have to say that because I have to differentiate between that and the Mormon deal, because so many people say, polygamy, Mormon, it's like an instantaneous thing. And from what I understand, monogamy was not the rule in the church until Constantine in 700 AD.
You're correct, my friend.
And let me state this, too. I don't practice that. But I find
And I'm not going to condemn you, but Christians would.
I know they would.
Yeah.
I know they would, and I feel that's a really great error.
David, they'd have to condemn Abraham, they'd have to condemn Jacob,
right?
Wouldn't they?
Well, here's the thing, too. They have to condemn God, because he sets out rules for that, for the conduct of that, things that are not permitted in that. It's not permitted to take a mother and a daughter. It's not permitted to take sisters in competition with one another.
Or an aunt, yeah.
Right. Let me give you an example here. Here in Tennessee, we have this law that it's illegal to use certain types of drugs, controlled substances,
okay,
right? If they catch you in Tennessee and with a tax stamp that you can buy controlled substance, you're in trouble for the controlled substance and you're in trouble for the lack of the tax stamp. And to me, that's just plain insanity. If it's illegal, it's illegal. And God doesn't operate like that. Men operate.
Yeah, those are just the rules of a man, bottom line. Anything else, Dalton? You're bringing out some interesting points, though. Okay. Anybody? So we lost Dalton. Okay, maybe Dalton can call back if he wants to finish his train of thought. Appreciate Dalton calling in Tennessee. Call back, Dalton. And we got Dylan in Tennessee, or Texas, excuse me. How you doing, Dylan?
Hallelujah, brother.
Praise Yahweh. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good. I just want to back you up here on the name. A lot of people say the sacred name. Well, it's just his name.
Right.
Well, one thing about it is, you know, now that I've been studying in Strong's and stuff, and I'm developing a vocabulary in the Hebrew, now I can go to the bookstore and open up a so-called Old Testament in the modern Hebrew, and I can see where they have Yahweh,
mm-hmm,
and where they have Elohim, you know, where the English rendition has Lord and G-O-D, and it's very satisfying. And so anyone saying that the name is Yahshua, they just haven't gotten in their strongs to see that Yahshua means Yah is salvation.
That's right.
It's like the short poetic form of his name, Yah, plus Shua, meaning salvation.
You know, you bring up an important point. Hold your thought for a second, but I want to kind of go off on what you're just saying there for a second, because it brings to mind, if anybody's ever saw that Mel Gibson movie, The Christ, or The Passion of Christ, that was the name of the title. He titled it The Passion of Christ. They never called him Jesus in the movie. And it was actually geared for an American-based, English-speaking audience. Now, it wasn't. And, of course, it had the subtitles, and you could read along with it. But they never called him Jesus in the movie, because it wasn't an issue about translating the name. It was an issue that they'd never invented the name Jesus yet at the time. And that's just a fact. But go right ahead with your point, Dylan.
Yeah, and so we know that the so-called tetragrammaton, that is the four letters, Yod, He, Wah, He. Some people pronounce the Wah, V, they'll say Yod, He, Vah, He. Anyway, I contend that it's Yod, He, Wah, He, and so I say Yahweh instead of Yava or Yahweh. Anyway.
Right. Yahweh, absolutely right.
But still, all the so-called sacred name proponents contend that the Hebrew tetragrammaton is his name.
Yeah, no one denied that. Even the Christian thought scholars, and we were talking about Ralph Woodrow the other about a couple of callers ago, they all acknowledge this, but they don't want to completely come out because, again, like I stated, their bread is buttered in the corporate Christian world, and a lot of their finances are depending upon it, and they don't want to lose that financial security base. And I'm glad to have any of these men on, these authors on, and they can, you know, if they want to dissent with me, I'm open for free speech. And also, I'm really open to what you're saying. You're bringing out some important points, Dylan.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's a big pie in the face of a bunch of hypocritical people and apostate Christians who contend that it's okay to use these substitutes such as Jesus and Lord for Yahweh, because it's in our English Bible, I suppose, right? Because it's in our English Bible and it's been there for a couple of centuries.
Yeah,
so,
it's been there, 300 or 400 years, and so now, just because we've only had it for 300 or 400 years, it's got to be the truth, when in reality the first 1,600 years of, you know, of people after the common era, after the Messiah came in the flesh, I guess they didn't have it right then, right? Of course not. They had it right. We have it wrong. We're the ones that are inheritors of these lies, like Jeremiah 16:19-21 and Jeremiah 8:8-9, the lying pen of the scribes of Delta's falsehood. We're the ones that are the recipients of the great apostasy. We're the ones that are living in that time where he said that in the last days, you know, knowledge would be increased. And now that there's a restoration taking place, folks, the truth hurts. And the truth will hurt it'll upset our apple cart. It'll upset our emotional ties into our belief system. But we've got to realize that he loved us even through that blindness we were in. He was walking with us even at the level we were at. But that doesn't mean he was accepting it in the final analysis.
Well, where I'm coming from also is, you know, if you look at the other side of the argument and say that these substitutes are okay, because that's originally I contested you because I agreed with you academically that it was his original name, but I contested, did he really care so much about having just one name? And the deal is, see, I used to pray to a Buddhist deity called Shakyamuni Tathagata. And Tathagata means save your spirit in Tibetan, okay? So if someone can say that they're going to call him Jesus or Jesus because that was Greek translation or Latin translation for, you know, the divine Savior, then the Messiah, then I should just then I should be able to just go ahead and call him Tathagata, or why not call him whatever I want, because that's two substitutes right there from two different traditions.
You're absolutely right. It does matter, and people think, oh, what's in a name? You know, a rose by a rose is by any other name. It's the same thing, Zach. You're overplaying it. The point is that if you sign your check, they're concerned about the name you sign. If it's not your name, it's not your given name, and you're signing some other name, it does matter. It's going to say void, reject. Can you imagine how much the more the Father is who said not to take his name in vain? In the end, he's going to have all these people lining up and give an account what they've done in their bodies, whether it be good or bad. And he's going to say, all right, did you know my name? Because I said in my word that my people are going to know my name. They're going to be called by my name in 2 Chronicles 7. And he said that they're going to take on my name in baptism, because that was the only name they baptized. The apostles baptized was in the name of Yahweh, Yod, Hey, Wah, Hey, the four Hebrew letters. They didn't baptize in titles of the Messiah. They didn't baptize in names that were just 400 or 500 years in development. Because it didn't exist. And when it comes to reverence and respect, he's very jealous over his name. Look at the book of Exodus. Over and over, he says jealous. He's jealous over his name.
Amen,
anything else,
brother?
Dylan? If he's jealous over his name, then I think he takes it very seriously, because he said, many are going to come to me in that day, and they're going to still call him Lord, Lord, think it's going to be all right. But now they're questioning the name they use. They use Jesus in their lifetime predominantly, or Jesus, or Iesus, or Azus. From all the different, you know, or EA Zeus in the Greek, but it wasn't Zeus that died for our sins. And of course, they weren't thinking of Zeus, but yet the name goes back to that, as well as many other pagan deities. And he's going to say, look, I never knew you. I was like a husband knew his wife, and a wife takes on her husband's name. You didn't take on my name in baptism. You didn't take my name exclusively. You referred to me by all these titles, and yes, I answered your prayer to get your attention in the end in your life. But guess what? It's gonna be void, reject in the last days. With all due respect for those people out there, you need to get baptized in the name of Yahweh, Messiah of Nazareth.
Yeah, he winks at the ignorance when we are ignorant. Something that that's apparent to me now after studying in the Strong's with the Hebrew and some of the Greek too. That the Greek language is praises Zeus. I mean,
it sure does.
For example, Moses. See, and it's not always S-U-S. A lot of times it's S-A-S, like they'll turn Manasseh into Manassas.
Right,
and,
right.
And it's with Moses. I know you know this, brother. His name ain't Moses. They put a
Moshe.
Zeus on the end. Yeah, his name is Moshe.
That's right.
They turn him into a Mo-Zeus.
Right, and look at Luke 4:27 in a King James, okay? And it'll say right there, speaking of Elisha, the prophet that succeeded Elijah, and his name was Elisha, but yet in the King James it calls him Eli-Zeus. But yet in 1 Kings 14 or 1 Kings 19:19, it calls him Elisha. So it's the same English language, and all of a sudden Elisha in 1 Kings 19:19, all of a sudden New Testament refers to him as Eli-Zeus. So
yeah.
Hold on a minute.
And,
so there's something going on. It's a conspiracy.
It definitely is. It has been a conspiracy.
Without a doubt.
And if you look into the Latin and you look at the word Jesus or Jesus, Jesus as the English word Jesus read in Spanish is pronounced Jesus. And if you look at that word and you go back to the Hebrew and with the sounds, and the he, that's from the letter he, and as in Yod He Wah He, there's Hey is in Yahweh's name twice, and Hey is like presenting my dad or presenting the mayor. It's like, hey, this person. It's like kind of an announcement before someone's name, and so Hey, Zeus. Well, you have Zeus. And then also in the Latin, I forget, in the Latin it's either pig or horse.
Yeah,
in Latin it's
S-U-S, which means swine. Look at it up in the 1828
swine.
Webster's Dictionary. Seus in Hebrew is horse. And so when they say, hey, Seuss, in Hebrew, it's the horse.
And horse is an unclean animal, right?
Right. Psalms chapter 30, I believe, or 31, 32, 33, there, somewhere in that time frame or in those Psalms, you'll find it says, it's a vain thing for you to trust in a horse for deliverance or salvation. And people who might not realize what that name means are trusting in a name that goes back to a four-footed swine, a four-footed horse, a four-footed beast, like they warned about, they being the apostles and Shaul in particular. In Romans 1:20, it says they would change the glory of the Almighty into a corruptible image of a man, to an image made like to a four-footed beast, to creeping things, to birds. Jesus in Latin, the First King James Bible had I-E-S-S-U-S, and Jesus was a half-bird, half-man. This name goes back to so many names in blasphemy, with all due respect, folks, that there's just no way that the Almighty is going to just skirt that on by and say, okay, you know, you're entering into my kingdom. Even though you didn't know this, I winked at your ignorance, and I walked with you, and I loved you, and I tried to preach to you and tell you, there was few preachers preaching it, but there was a message out there. You could have looked it up yourself and studied it out, and, you know, people, you know, get on me a lot. Well, that's all you talk about. No, there's a lot more issues. You can talk about the calendar issue. There's so much paganism interwoven, the false left-right paradigm within the religious system. There's no true form of Christianity in a false form. It's all Catholic Christianity. Some don't know it, some do. Dylan, why don't you hold the line? We're getting ready to...
Alrighty.
Looks like we're going to a break. If not, just keep on with your thought. But, yeah, stay tuned. We'll be right back on Repair the Breach. I'm Zach Daniel, breachmender@yahoo.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
And we're back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. You're tuned to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. I'm Zach Daniel. And go ahead, Dylan, give us a final statement or thought here before we go back to Dalton in Tennessee.
Okay, and the new moon issue is settled quite easily. A lot of people are catching on to the deal that there is a seventh-day Sabbath, and but it's not Friday to Saturday, and of course it wouldn't be. The Bible talks about a period of time starting with the new moon. That means a cycle of the moon, obviously.
Right.
And that cycle is about 29 and a half days. So a cycle of the moon is going to be 29 or 30 days if you're going to divide it up as a man's day.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because tomorrow night will be the second new moon of the year, and you'll see it in the east rising. It'll be the biggest, brightest, yellowest moon tomorrow night. So look in the east, folks.
Okay, Yahweh bless you, brother.
All right, and so therefore the Sabbath will be, because it'll rise on Monday night, to translate on the pagan calendar, the Tuesday night will be the new moon day. That means the Sabbath will be from Monday evening to Tuesday evening, just to translate, for the next 4 weeks. Anyhow, we got Dalton in Tennessee. Welcome back.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that that you understood where I was going with what I was saying.
Oh, I understand what you're doing.
I got cut off. And, you know, I got to thinking about it, too. My deal was, I'm not participating in that, and I don't have any plans to.
But I
was really incensed that these people were judging these other folks that do.
Well, I try to say it like this, Dalton. I used to be a Christian pastor, and I'm not trying to be mean, and I try to speak with love and all due respect. But at the same time, I came out of it. I used to pastor a 30, 40 small little congregation in California. And you know what? I don't want blood on my hands, and I'm not here to get popular or get famous or anything like that. That's not my intention. And in fact, if that was my intention, I would have stayed in Christian broadcasting and stayed on the Christian pastorate. That would have been my goal. I would have stayed in it. But that's not my point. My point is, he loves us all. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad or feel pressure or anything like that. I just try to bring these informational facts out. And if anybody wants to rebut it, come on. I don't screen the calls. Show me where I'm wrong. I'm not saying I have all the answers. I'm just saying, I know these are true issues, and they're worthy of time, and they're worthy to be brought out. And if there's Christian pastors or Christian laymen that are out there that want to, you know, rebut it, I'd be glad to deal with it, because I'm not afraid about it, because I used to deal with it myself. I used to think that way.
Well, my other point with what I was, where I'm at fault, too, is because I'm not polygamist and I don't participate in it, I resented the flack that I was having to take over it with people. You know what I'm saying? It's like, why do I have to put up with all this when I'm not even doing it? And then I got to thinking, well, you know, yeah, we have a duty to our fellow believers, and you know, but it still boils down to, if it goes against the word, it's wrong, and it is of an offense to the Creator. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from. I mean, there was
anything I have to do to defend that, I shouldn't feel resentful of that at all.
Right, exactly. If you believe what you believe, or if anybody out there says, okay, I believe it, then if you're so secure in your belief, then it shouldn't affect you or offend you so much. The Scripture says, great peace have they that love thy law or Torah, and nothing shall offend them. If it ruffles your I mean, I do appreciate this network, because this network doesn't censor their hosts. And I'm telling you, you ain't going to find that over at the so-called other network. You ain't going to find that at other networks, for that matter. I'm telling you, RBN, I'm telling you, is blessed, is going to continue to be blessed, because they're allowing truth to come forth, and information that will be ridiculed and ostracized. But nevertheless, I respect John and Sandra very much for allowing us to be on, and other hosts who bring out important issues that need to be talked about. Anything else, Dalton? We're getting ready to close the broadcast.
Real quick, because I haven't... because I haven't heard your whole deal before, can you put your major points in a nutshell for me? In other words, I would say, I believe that other than the tampering, like you were talking about with the King James Version on some of that stuff and the later thing, what is it in a nutshell that sets your beliefs apart from what you see as being apostasy?
Well, we're getting ready to come to